This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Pat and Stu in for Glenn today, who is continuing with his back ailment. We do hope he'll be back tomorrow.
Hoax.
Yes, that's the fake news of the back ailment hoax. We hope he's back tomorrow so he can you can watch the Wednesday night special he's got coming up on blazetv.com/Glenn. Comply or die, how America will enforce total wokeness, which I guess we're not even there yet. It feels like we're there, but apparently not. This 9 p.m. Eastern, right after a brand new Stu Does America on Blaze TV. Make sure to use the promo code Glenn and save $10 off your subscription. Today, we do go into some wokeness. There's definitely some wokeness going on. We get into some of the crazy stuff going on in our society. They're banning episodes of TV now because there's too many things that are offensive, including, by the way, they've banned an episode of The Golden Girls. And you're not going to believe the situation around that. Also, the Washington Post has issued a correction of a major news story from late in the election cycle that may have affected the election. They are saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we didn't have the audio and we totally misquoted the president. We'll get into that as well today. Also want to tell you, Pat Gray Unleashed, of course, wonderfully joining us here on the program. You can subscribe to the podcast. Click over right now. You're in the podcast app. Just click over as you're listening. Type Pat Gray Unleashed and subscribe to that, as well as Stu Does America. New podcasts every day. Make sure you check those out as well. And in the store, as we speak right now, Nancy Pelosi sucks pens. Yes, these are the identical replicas of the pen that Nancy Pelosi signed the impeachment with her fancy signature and her handwriting that just says Nancy Pelosi. If you look really closely, it also says the word sucks. I think you'll really appreciate them. They're at nancypelosisuckspen.com. They've been out of stock since Thanksgiving. Make sure to pick one up now while supplies last. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pretty amazing admission by the Washington Post. And they're kind of getting hammered for even bringing it up. But they everybody misquoted President Trump.
Yeah.
So.
In kind of a big moment, too.
Kind of a big moment.
Yeah. So if you forget this sort of storyline here. The president called down to Georgia and said, hey, guys, can you look into this election thing? I'm upset with what happened with the election. And he went through a lengthy call and we heard actual clips from this call. However, most of the media went further than what we heard. Now, we heard the audio and they had things in quotes. So it's natural to assume, right, that they quoted him accurately, right? They had recordings of the call. Well, apparently what they're telling us now is they just had partial recordings of the call and apparently ran these stories without hearing any of these quotes. So they ran a correction yesterday, just a little correction. If you happen to be checking back on that story from a couple months ago, you would have seen it at the bottom. I mean, what's the big deal? That's plenty of attention. A lot of people go back and just say, I wonder if they've updated that story from 2 months ago. We should check on that. Well, somebody apparently did, and this correction ran. Correction 2 months after publication of the story. I mean, what an unbelievable
first. Wow. Yeah.
The Georgia Secretary of State released an audio recording of President Donald Trump's December phone call with the state's top election investigator. The recording revealed that the Post misquoted Trump's comments on the call based on information provided by a source. Trump did not tell the investigator to, quote, find the fraud, end quote. Yes, there. Like,
that's pretty important.
Pretty important.
Because find the fraud sounds like he's actually asking them to do something nefarious.
Yeah.
He's asking them to do something wrong.
You could take it a couple different ways, but you could definitely take it that way. And when you're getting a call from the president of the United States in this moment, you probably would take it in the most, threatening way possible. Now, remember the state of events here. Trump has, already the election has been certified, and he's calling up to ask for him to go further into that down that rabbit hole. The bigger deal, though, of course, is that the two Georgia election Senate seats are not decided. So it's before that election. Remember, these elections come, they come out and it's very close. Both Senate seats are very close. Could this have been the determinative factor in control of the Senate? This misreporting. Trump did not tell investigators to find the fraud or say she would be, quote, a national hero if she did so. Instead, Trump urged the investigator to scrutinize ballots in Fulton County, Georgia, asserting she would find dishonesty there. He told her that he had, quote, the most important, she had, quote, the most important job in the country right now, end quote. Story about the recording can be found here. The headline and text of the story have been corrected to remove quotes misattributed to Trump. Now, this is not some local, you know, random paper. This is the Washington Post giving the definitive story about this particular phone call. And worse than misquoting him is actually writing the story without hearing the audio. You know, it's like you have to. It's impossible to for me to understand anything other than they just were hoping they'd get away with this. And that Trump would cost this whole Trump story would cost the Republicans the Senate, which it wound up doing, arguably. I mean, they were close elections. And now here we are with 50 seats and $1.9 trillion already spent with more to come. A fascinating. It's impossible to understand that something like this could happen by mistake.
In 2021? Yeah. Yeah. And how does it happen? It happens only because these reporters hate Donald Trump and they just assume certain things about him. Mm-hmm. And they assume and insert certain things about him to fit their narrative. And that's what they continue to do. And it doesn't matter how much he protests or says. And I don't even know that he said anything about it. Did he even?
That's one thing that was interesting.
I don't know if he said much about their misquotes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that anyone would have listened to him anyway.
They wouldn't have.
They don't.
They would not have.
But still, you usually would hear from him. Now, of course, this is one of the things that is part of the after effects of not having a Twitter account. I mean, he really wasn't speaking out to anybody at this point.
That's true.
If I have the timeline right. But he didn't really have a way to kind of reach out and say, I never said those things. Because that... You're right. You kind of expect to hear that from Trump in this moment. Mm-hmm. But obviously, there was a lot of big things going on at that time. So maybe this just wasn't his focus. But either way, it's impossible to understand how this can happen. And it's not something you can just throw in a correction months later. It should be a major story for The Washington Post on the front page that says, we really screwed this up. Here's how it happened. That's the only way it's acceptable to do something like this. Mm-hmm. You can't just throw it in a correction. And even then, it's journalism just turned upside down. It's malpractice to a degree that you can't imagine in an incredibly important moment for the country.
Yeah. See if this makes any difference. So he didn't tell the investigator to, quote, find the fraud, unquote. And he didn't say that she would be, quote, a national hero, unquote, if she did so. Instead, he urged the investigator to scrutinize ballots in Fulton County. That's completely appropriate. Mm-hmm. Scrutinize them, asserting she would find dishonesty there.
Mm-hmm.
He also told her that she had the most important job in the country. I think you mentioned that. And so then they include some of the recordings and the whole story is just a non-story to people like CNN and MSNBC, and nobody seems to care. Very, very few outlets even care about this.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's the president of the United States that you grossly misquoted, and you don't care about that? Pretty unbelievable.
It is, and so expected at this point. You know, we, I think, do a fair job, at least attempt to do a fair job, in occasionally giving mainstream media credit when they do good things. You know, I'm not the type of person who's going to throw out every single story from the mainstream media and just say, oh, they're always lying. Like, for example, the New York Times has done really good reporting on Andrew Cuomo over the past couple of months, which, again, they waited a long time, but I'm glad they're on board. And they have been able to find multiple accusers. They've been able to dig up lots of information that you know, only maybe the New York Times can. I mean, the New York Times has so many resources to go after these things. And when they actually put their mind to it, they can do some good reporting. The Washington Post is the same way. I mean, they have done some valuable reporting over the years. But things like this are just inexcusable. And it becomes the easiest thing in the world, Pat, to have at your beck and call when everything you see always reinforces your previous beliefs. If you believe Donald Trump is a bad guy, that he's erratic, that he's going to do all these terrible things, then every story you cover, you just insert that in there and assume it's okay. Mm-hmm. So when you have a source telling you he said X, Y, and Z, and you have no evidence of that, well, your evidence is he's a bad guy, and I know he's a bad guy, so I can just put it in there. Right? Like, if your priors going into the story are this man is a terrible person, then anybody who tells you that they have information that proves Donald Trump is a terrible person, you just kind of go ahead and assume that's true. And that's not a good place to go. It's, you know, it's like a Weekly World News, who has invested heavily in the idea that the Bat Child is around and available for comment at any time on any given news event. Well, if someone comes and says, hey, by the way, the Bat Child just said X, Y, and Z, you're going to believe it because your priors are you believe the Bat Child exists against all evidence.
Sure.
And of course, obviously, yeah. He's a very nice guy. We've met him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Very nice guy. Point is, you can't apply that.
Highly respected source as well.
Yeah, I think
highly
so.
Highly respected.
I think so.
Yeah.
But you can't apply the whole point of journalism is not to apply your priors. You can't do that. If you do that, you will go down roads in which you're issuing multi-paragraph corrections about massive news stories that you blew.
It's interesting, too, because both the New York Times and the Washington Post have always leaned left, but they just leaned left before. In previous decades, you could just count on them for a little spin.
Yes.
A slant, a certain way. Well, now they're just propaganda arms for the Democrat Party. That's they've just wholeheartedly bought in to left-wing propaganda, and so now they're just left-wing propaganda. And so I think that colors everything that they do, including when the Washington Post misquotes the president, then the other outlets just pick it up and run with it. CNN is guilty of that as well. They just picked it up and repeated the same lie. And so then you have everybody spewing this lie.
Yeah.
And so the American public believes it. Well, I mean, the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN are all saying it. Can't be a lie. Well, it was, and it is. And I think this happens a lot more than we even know.
That's terrifying.
Because it is.
I feel like in this era, we do catch it more often, you know, with people always looking at everything and social media. And you can find these things and check them out. And we do, I think, catch more of them these days. But there's more of them happening, too. You know, we talked about this with the Chris Cuomo situation, I think, a little bit yesterday. And that I think there really was a time in which CNN would come out and say, okay, we blew this one. You know, like we shouldn't have had the brother of the governor doing slapstick comedy in the middle of the pandemic. Like, okay, yeah. That's our bad. Yes, okay. We're going to try to correct that. Now, would they correct it? Probably not. But at least they would admit, they would feel at least the tug of having some sort of integrity. You know what I mean? They wouldn't necessarily follow through with it, but they would feel weird about it. You know, there's a certain brand of person. Andrew Cuomo is down this line, you know, where you don't have that natural human tug of integrity when you say something false. Everybody says things that are false in their lives, right? Hopefully, you're the type of person who, when you say something and you know it's not kind of true, you kind of feel that internal sort of struggle a little bit. Your stomach feels a little weird. And you're like, this isn't exactly the way I should say this, but I feel like I have to at this point. No, honey, you don't look fat in that. You know what I mean? There's something that at least tugs at your integrity. Andrew Cuomo has, you know, no connection to integrity in any way. Everything he says without that feeling. It's not in him. So when he says things that are complete lies that cost the lives of thousands of people, there's nothing in him that says, gee, I shouldn't say this. Gee, this is a weird moment. Maybe you shouldn't be lying about a thousand grandparents being dead. He doesn't care. He just goes along through it because to Andrew Cuomo, the most important thing, of course, is Andrew Cuomo. And I think we have too many people in the media now who have that same thing. I think CNN, this Cuomo thing seems to have passed that line where they no longer feel the need to step up and say, look, OK, we think we did a lot of great coverage about the COVID-19, but this was, we shouldn't have been doing that. We had the ban in place. We should have kept the ban in place. Everything would have been fine. And I think the same thing is happening with some of these media sources now. They never felt the need to have that internal debate about Donald Trump because they just all assumed he was Satan times Hitler multiplied by Idi Amin. And they were just like, okay, that's the guy, so we can say whatever thing. And no one's going to say, hey, you know, you misquoted Hitler. He actually didn't say that. No one's going to fight you. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, well, he was a really bad guy, did a lot of terrible things.
Right.
If you assume he's Hitler before you write the story, you have a lot of freedom to kind of say whatever you want.
And they did.
And they did.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So the White House is expected to propose a suite of tax increases. Like when you have a master bedroom suite, just a whole bunch of real wonderful tax increases all rolled into one giant package. The tax hikes will include, they'll be included in a broader infrastructure and jobs package because When will we finally allot some money for infrastructure? When will that finally happen?
We need a national conversation on infrastructure, Pat.
When will we talk about it?
We won't. I don't know what the problem
is.
We
just won't.
People just don't want to constantly talk about infrastructure all the time.
That's all we've done is infrastructure bills. The stimulus was filled with infrastructure. We're going to fix our broken roads and bridges.
Mm-hmm. It's always the roads and bridges.
They're crumbling, and we need to fix them. Well, okay, where did that $787 billion go? Because that was supposed to fix the infrastructure.
It's not even real money anymore if it doesn't start with a T. If we can't get at least into the trillions, then it's not even a bill.
Very true. Well, this one will be in the trillions, fortunately.
Oh, good.
And they're going to raise the corporate tax rate as well from 21 to 28%.
Oh, good.
Because, you know,
it's a fantastic idea.
That's exciting to corporations who will really want to stay here now.
The one thing that's interesting about that is every single study they do about the corporate tax rate is they find that that just gets passed to you. So corporations raise the rates. That money gets charged to you instead. So you're paying more tax.
What a stunning surprise that is that they would pass along their expenses to us.
Because I always felt like they just
accept
the goodness
less
of
profit.
Their heart, just
no.
You know,
yeah, it's
you know,
not usually what happens.
Maybe they would just go into loss from profit to loss. That might be another approach.
Yeah,
but they don't seem to want to do that. Yeah,
they're going to raise the income tax rate on individuals earning more than $400,000.
Good, those damn rich people.
Finally, when will they pay their fair share?
They've never paid it before.
Never.
Those people, Pat, don't pay any taxes. Okay.
No, zero. They have a zero tax rate.
I don't know if you know this. Mitt Romney never paid any taxes.
Not a penny.
We found that out in 2012.
Well, it's out there. He needs to address it.
Which he did, but we didn't believe him. And then we later admitted that everyone lied about it. But still,
it's
important that rich people get punished. Anyone who makes money in this society
is immoral.
Evil.
It's immoral and evil. You're
unless
right.
They're on the left.
Sure. Because then they're doing good things with it.
Right. Then they're doing good
things. They're funding abortion clinics and things.
Right.
That's
building new, fancy, state-of-the-art abortion clinics. Abortion clinics that can churn out like an abortion every 11 seconds. Just churning them out.
A lot of drive-thrus. Like a lot of drive-through abortion clinics.
A lot of drive-thrus.
Yeah.
And you got this is, what year is it? Is it 1914?
No.
No.
It is 2021.
Exactly. We're getting the drive-through COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
We're getting the drive-through tests.
And
we should have the drive-through
abortion clinics. Now.
Make it easy.
We're going to, finally, they're going to expand the estate taxes reach.
Oh, good. Good.
Because when you've paid your taxes all your life on everything you've ever made, and then you die, well, then the government has a right to easily 50% of what you have.
Absolutely.
What you have left. So,
well, let's see.
Why would you allow them to give it to their family or whoever they wanted to? You wouldn't.
Right.
Right.
No, that would be bad.
You'd insist that the government take their fair share of it.
Right. Like, well, here's the thing. This is the way society should work. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You make some money and the government taxes you on that money, but you have some leftover.
Mm-hmm.
And with that leftover money, you go purchase something. And then you pay a sales tax when you purchase that, obviously, because that's just fair. It's just fair. It's just fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take that money and maybe that thing that you bought grows in value over time. Okay. Well, in that case, just tax that growth. That's all. Just tax that growth. And then when you die, they just take half of what's left. Like, that seems completely legitimate and fair and not a scam. That does not seem like a scam, Pat. Especially what's amazing is even with those rules, they still are in debt.
Yeah.
Like you're taking every dime from people.
Yep.
And they're still somehow unable to run this government at a surplus.
Also, they're talking about a higher capital gains tax rate, too, for individuals earning at least $1 million a year.
That's the one that they asked Barack Obama about back in the day.
Capital gains.
Yeah. And they said every single time that this has been lowered, we've received more revenue to the government because it increases activity.
Mm-hmm.
And Barack Obama didn't really have a good answer to that.
No, his response was, if I'm not mistaken, that in the interest of fairness, he still believed in a higher capital gains tax.
In other words, punish the rich people, even if it doesn't help society.
I don't care if it helps.
We don't want them to be happy.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's good for the country.
Doesn't matter if it
helps. It's bad for them, and that's fair.
If bad for them is good for me.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. So, White House economist Heather Boushey underlined that Biden doesn't intend to boost taxes people.
He doesn't what?
Intend.
He doesn't intend on boosting taxes.
They're not saying he's not going to.
Right. He just doesn't intend
to right now to boost taxes on people earning less than $400,000. But know he will.
Look, intent is, most of the law. You know, usually if
at
you
least
intend
nine tenths
of the law. That's what I've. So if you intend, if you say like, hey, I'm not going to I don't intend on raising taxes on people who are middle class making $50,000 a year. But then you do it. You're still nine tenths. OK.
Yes.
That's how I look at it.
Me too.
It's totally fine. As long as you don't. I didn't mean to raise taxes on everyone.
Right.
It just happened.
But for folks at the top who've been able to benefit from this economy and haven't been this hard hit, there's a lot of room to think about what kinds of revenue we can raise.
Those bastards. I don't even care if it's revenue. Even if it brings in less revenue, let's just punish those people who wear suits and ties.
And seriously, that's what Barack Obama was saying. Because if it doesn't benefit the country, why do it then?
Because at least there's you could argue, okay, well, yes, you're stealing people's money, but hey, at least it helps the collective. That's supposed to be the liberal conservative divide, right?
Yes.
Conservatives are focused on individuals being able to hold what they earn and be responsible for their own lives and actions. And the left is supposed to say, well, no, we're going to take their money and we're going to redistribute it more efficiently. Barack Obama was saying, actually, I don't care if it's being distributed more efficiently. Wanted to hurt those guys.
Yeah. Because it makes it more fair for people who are making less than they are. They don't have to be quite as jealous, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It honestly doesn't make any sense. So this will turn out to be the Tax Policy Center estimated this will raise $2.1 trillion over a decade. Though the administration's plan is likely to be smaller. The overall program, though, has yet to be unveiled. But analysts are saying somewhere between $2 and $4 trillion.
Oh,
$2 to $4 trillion.
Just the $2 to $4 trillion?
Yeah, tax increase.
Well, that's not $10 trillion.
It's not $100 trillion.
It's not $1 quadrillion.
When you think it could be a quadrillion, this is a really conservative plan.
Right. I mean, this is basically a tax cut from the $1 quadrillion plan.
Right. What if it was $1,000 quadrillion? What if it was
$1 quintillion? Right, a quadrillion dollar bill would be conservative in that world. So let's just think that they offered a $1 quintillion bill and we got it down to $2 to $4 trillion.
Yeah.
We'd be thrilled with that outcome.
It's like when somebody was complaining to Barack Obama that the unemployment rate was getting really close to 10%. Yeah. And he said, well, at least it's not 13 or 14 or 15%.
That's true.
It's true.
He does so make a point there.
When it could be 15%, 10% seems pretty good.
I mean, here's the thing. Could it be 100%?
Yes, it could.
The unemployment rate could be 100%.
It could be every person in America without a job.
What if it was 500%? What if people lost 5 jobs each per day?
That'd be a lot.
That would be incredibly high. And Barack Obama was able to keep it at only the highest it's been in a really long time.
It was only like 9.8% or something, I think, at its peak, which was not bad at all.
Not at all.
When you consider what it could have been.
It could have been. Yeah. I mean, we saw what it could have been
here
over the past year.
Yes, we did.
All you need is a giant global pandemic or Barack Obama's policies. And look, Biden's approval rating right now is 62%, by the way. 62%.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. No.
And I have not seen that.
It's been very steady.
Jeez.
Right around 60% since he started.
How is that possible? In order for it to be 62%, there's got to be quite a few Republicans who are thinking, yeah, you're doing a good job.
Yeah. No, it's true.
You're doing a great job.
And like people.
What is the matter with you? If you are a Republican and you think he's doing a good job, what is the matter with you?
It's shocking.
Wow.
Shocking. And he's been in the positive the entire time.
Mm.
And part of that, I think, is that people don't really remember he's president because he never actually goes anywhere.
That probably
does
is,
anything.
That does figure
public.
In.
Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday and they said to me, I mean, is Jen Psaki president? Because we never hear anything from Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, for that matter.
True.
You just hear stuff from Jen Psaki coming out and addressing this. It's an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finding Joe Biden at 62% approval, 30% disapproval, and then 8% unsure. It is Republicans... approve of him. 30% of Republicans, 22% of Trump supporters say they approve of Biden's handling of the pandemic, which is pretty high. Higher than you'd think in this sort of divisive environment.
So is 62% the overall approval rating or is that the pandemic approval?
62% is, let's say, 62% is the pandemic. Yes,
okay.
You're correct.
Yeah.
62% approval rating for the pandemic. I think his actual approval rating is in the mid 50s when it comes to.
That's still too high.
It's still high. And again, you know, this is, you can go back and you could take what you want out of polls. I know people don't like polls sometimes, but, you know, Donald Trump was never in the mid 50s in his entire presidency. This is very early.
He only got Biden's, to 50, I think, in Rasmussen, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Rasmussen, he hit it a couple times. But he was never, and that's just, you know, he was obviously a divisive figure. Their goal, though, here with Biden is to make him a non-figure. Like, you don't know who the president is because you never see or hear from them. And occasionally he'll come out and he'll give an award to some military guy, and then you won't hear from him for another month. He's done no press conferences. He's basically, they're passing these bills without introducing you to him. Mm-hmm. Who? Joe Biden? Was he even a factor in the 2020 election? Most people say no, because it was really just a do you like Trump or do you not like Trump sort of election. So Biden is coming in here and he's getting things done that would be very difficult to do in a different environment.
Well, and it's smart because when he does come out and speak, he says things like this.
The vast majority of economists, left, right, and center, from Wall Street to the private economic polling initiatives.
Oh my gosh, the PEPI?
Private economic polling initiatives.
The PEPI.
Yes, the PEPI.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's a
or
big...
the PAPI. Because it's private. No, it's, you're right. PEPI.
Economic, right? Yeah.
Economic. Yeah.
Yeah,
private
the PEPI.
Economic. Polling initiatives.
That's a huge thing in our society today. How many times, Pat, have we talked about the private economic polling initiatives?
I can't even count them.
People wouldn't listen to us for a long time.
You know what they're going to talk about most in the future are the private economic polling initiatives, and you're going to be sorry you didn't entertain it before then. And here we are.
And here we are.
is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So speaking of a fabulous television viewing here, Pat, one of the things, do you do this where you have an old show that you've watched before, like sort of just brings you back to some sort of comfort level?
Yes.
And you might just flip it on when you're getting ready for bed, or you have a couple minutes open. You're just, maybe you're, you know, doing, like when I'm doing bills sometimes, I will just throw on, you know, some TV show that I've watched before, so I don't really need to pay attention to it. But like, I got my computer on my lap, I'm mostly working, but it's kind of in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the shows I do that with, and I've been doing for a little while here, is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a show, it's, you know, it's sort of a edgy comedy, if you've never seen it before. And they go down a lot of, they push the envelope on certain issues throughout. And it's been interesting to watch it, because I've been watching it from the beginning, you know, one episode of, you know, every day or two. And the change you kind of notice in that the really early seasons, they say all sorts of crap that I cannot believe they get away with, right? Like, it just, they just go so far in every episode. And you kind of noticed the transition a little bit, and it seemed like maybe they were getting a little softer as it went on in the seasons. Like, they wouldn't push the envelope quite as much as it went on, which you kind of would expect. But yesterday, I'm watching, it was season 8, episode 1, and it's on Hulu. And at the bottom, when the episode ends, the little box pops up, you know, and it says, next up, season 8, episode 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say that this time. It says, next up, season 8, episode 3. And I looked at it, and I'm like, aren't I on episode 1? And yes, I'm on episode 1. You see, episode 2, Pat, has been deleted from the service. It is no longer available to stream. It is no longer part of the series, apparently. And I thought, wait a minute, this is unbelievable. So I went online, and I started to search to see if I could find anything about this particular episode. And yes, it actually has been removed from the streaming services, but it's not the only episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I was like, what? I remember this being more offensive, and part of it is because they've removed episodes from previous seasons that I didn't notice as I passed by.
Wow.
So season 8, episode 3 is, or episode 2 is called The Gang Recycles Their Trash. And Dee, who's the female character on the show, is a failing comedian. She tries to do these characters, and she's awful at them, which is really, really funny. And one of the reasons why it's funny is she's a failed comedian. She thinks she's funny, and she's trying to do like this old school racial stereotype humor. And it's, the point of it is to show that she's blatantly a racist and a terrible person. The whole show is about how bad these people are. Right. That's the whole point of the show, is to show them doing terrible things, and you laugh at them because they're idiots. You realize that these things are bad. Well, apparently they count her character, Martina Martinez, as blackface, because I would say she looks tan in the episode, but I guess they're counting that as blackface. Now, they've now ripped 5 episodes out of the show off of Hulu. Which is
all for blackface?
All for blackface. America's Next Top Patties Billboard Model Contest, which her fake comedian is in, Martina Martinez. Then there's 2 classic episodes. Like, if you know anyone who's ever watched the show, they made a sequel to Lethal Weapon. And of course, one of the horrible white characters has to be Danny Glover. So in Lethal Weapon 5 and Lethal Weapon 6, they do use blackface in the art. Now, again, unlike we talked about yesterday, Jimmy Kimmel, who used blackface just to mock a black person and how they talked. This is like them mocking themselves for being idiots, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's been pulled off. And
the context doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter.
Which is so bizarre and so stupid, because the context should matter.
It's all that matters in a situation like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it is all that matters.
But you're a racist if you think context matters, because if this happened, then there is no reason for it. There is no excuse for it. Just can't do it under any circumstances.
No.
And so you're a racist if you think that context matters now.
It's true and insane. You know, Donald McNeil, who was the lead star reporter for the New York Times on COVID-19 from the beginning of the pandemic. He's a guy who's, you know, I didn't agree with everything he said, but he was the guy who said it was going to be a big deal in January and February. Like, he was one of these guys who was making a big deal about it. He's been covering infectious diseases across the world for 40 years for the New York Times. I mean, this is like their legendary guy. And he was just fired because he was on a trip with a bunch of students who asked him a question about whether it was okay to use the N-word in a certain circumstance.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to clarify what the circumstance was. Like, are you talking about, like, someone saying it as a racial slur or someone, like, quoting someone? And at some point in his search for an explanation, he said the word out loud. And that, of course, was enough for him to be fired because of all the woke staff all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny because I'm watching season 8, episode 1 of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which how this one gets through and how the other episodes around it get banned because of blackface, which are not, there's not a lot of, you know, it's more of them being idiots thinking they could get away with blackface. That's basically the joke. Like, they are so so disconnected from the world that they think that this is appropriate, right? These, you know, they obviously have all sorts of issues. I mean, Mac in the show is basically a racist throughout. But the episode before is basically nonstop Nazi jokes. And one of their grandfathers was a former Nazi. And they're talking about, they play footage from their old camp back in the day, which they later in life realized was a Nazi camp. And literally, not only are they saying all sorts of really offensive things about Jews, but the actual N-word is in the episode. It's actually said by one of the characters in the episode with no edit.
Jeez.
That one's still up there, but the next one is out because they're making fun of, like, Lethal Weapon or something. Completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
So we found this collection of stories. There is one in here which is absolutely amazing. All the episodes from streaming services that have been pulled off because of blackface. And let me give you the best one first, because I can't resist. Hulu has removed an episode of The Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls had a blackface episode?
The Golden Girls had a blackface episode, apparently. Now, listen to this. First of all, this sounds... I mean, I know you're not supposed to like these things because they're so offensive, but this does sound amazing. Mixed Blessings was the name of it. It's not streaming because there's a scene where Betty White and Rue McClanahan introduce themselves to a black character while wearing a mud mask that is mistaken for blackface. That sounds like an incredible half hour of television.
But there again,
it's not
context. They're not even in blackface.
Not even in blackface. Not trying to be in blackface. Because a character mistakes a mud mask for blackface, they removed an episode of the freaking Golden Girls? Is Betty White the least offensive person in human history? Everyone loves Betty White. They took the freaking Golden Girls off? Absolutely incredible. In every
it's
way.
Incredible.
Another example, there's a show called With Bob and David. Now, if you know back in the day, Mr. Show with Bob and David was on HBO, very famous sketch comedy show. In my opinion, the best one ever made. And Netflix did one season of sort of a revival, which they called With Bob and David. It was 2015. In this episode, David Cross, who is super liberal, probably the most liberal person in our society, the single most liberal person in our society, he dresses up and at one point he's doing a thing where he's like these YouTube videos where you're trying, like, I'm gonna show you what your rights are as a citizen when you get pulled over on the side of the road. And he's filming himself, he's trying to do his own, like, a little viral video, and he's trying to make the point at one point in the sketch that if he puts on blackface he will automatically get arrested because he's black, and he does. Like, that's, you know, I'm summarizing here, obviously, but it's a very funny sketch. But they've removed it from the show because he was wearing blackface in an effort to say the liberal point that white cops will just arrest black people for no reason. He's actually making the liberal point, and they still pull it off. Sarah Silverman. Ridiculous. We talked about Sarah Silverman yesterday. She lost a job because of a sketch she did in blackface. They did move. Scrubs has lost 3 episodes of their show from the streaming services. The Office has lost an episode, which I don't remember an Office blackface scene. But
I don't either.
There is a lot that is offensive in that show. Community lost an episode. 30 Rock, 4 episodes. You know, for Hollywood lecturing us about racism all the time, they're in blackface a lot of blackface. A lot of blackface.
Wow.
I feel like a tad too much. But some of these examples are completely ridiculous, with Golden Girls, I think, has to top the list.